I'm hesitant to say this, but I believe many of our messages in many churches can be preached in a Hindu temple, in a Muslim mosque, and in a communist meeting where they don't believe in God. Something's wrong with that. Who is the one that you're trusting in to take hold of your hand on the other side? Is he this? Or is he someone else?
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled True Esteem Part 2 by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, in everything we do, our focus is on making Christ visible. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
You see, sometimes we peg people at a certain level until there is some revelation, some information, and you realize, wow, I didn't know you were the one. This morning, we're going to learn something about Jesus that will revolutionize and hopefully will change the way we think about him. It should change the way we worship him. Sometimes we treat Jesus almost as the least important when he should be the most important in our lives. We're in our series called Mind Reset from Philippians chapter 2. And this morning we're going to come to the second part of the message. If you remember last weekend we had the marriage conference. And prior to that I began a message called True Esteem. This is sort of the second half of that message. So if you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. If you remember, I called this a horrible translation. A better translation should be, who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God the Father something to grasp at. Another way, Jesus had the same essence as his Father and also the Holy Spirit. Equal in essence, equal in substance, equal in nature. And yet, in the Trinity, there is God the Father, there is God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He obeys both the Father and the Son, encompassing the entire universe, giving life. So equal in form and essence and nature and substance, but different in roles and functions. What did Jesus do? But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. We're going to camp here this morning. What does it mean that Jesus came in the likeness of men? And it says it again, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, verse 9, God, we're talking about God the Father, also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How do you see Jesus? Who is he to you? Do you truly understand what he is all about? You see, if you and I are to have the mind of Christ, do we know the mind of Christ? Do we truly understand? If someone tells me, be like Ryan, I need to know what Ryan's like so I can be like him. So also, if we say, be like Christ, we need to know who he is. Do we truly understand who he is? Because if we do, it will transform the way we think about him, worship him, and obey him. You can't say no to him. And do you know him? Do you truly know him? What does that mean? It means, have you ever received him as your Savior? Has there been a point in your life where you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life and to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, and to take over, which means this: from this day on, you're going to follow him. If you've never done that, I know you love this church, and I know you love coming out to Clearview, but you're still lost. Something needs to happen. A decision has to be made, and then you know Christ. In fact, as I pray and ask God's blessing on the message, you pray and ask Jesus to save you, to come into your life. We need to know who is the one who saves us, who Jesus is, and what did he exactly do? Because misunderstanding there, eternity is too long to be wrong. Do you know who Christ is? Today's message in this series is about understanding who it is that saves us, understanding who it is that it will never leave us nor forsake us. Listen again to verse 6. Paul says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Our translation is that who did not consider equality with God something to grasp at. But now look at verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That verse, that line, has caused more controversies, more schisms, more heresies than any other passage in the Bible, I believe. What does it mean when Paul says Jesus came in the likeness of men? Some people believe that when Jesus was on earth, that temporarily he stopped being God. Some people believe that. So when he came down, born of a virgin, at that point he was just human. The God part was left upstairs with the Father. Is that true? Shake your head. Not true. How do we know that? Listen to Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Means that baby inside Mary's womb, that baby in the manger, the baby that grew up and went to the temple as a young boy, and that Savior who walked the streets of Palestine and gave his life was not just a human only, he was still God. So coming in the likeness of men does not mean we got the human part here. The God part was upstairs. Not true. Paul says it as well in Colossians 2:9. For in him, meaning Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead. Pay attention to those words. Every bit of God was in that baby. Every bit of God was in that young lad. Every bit of God was in that man, Christ Jesus. He was not separated. There was not split personality happening. He was fully God every single moment of those 33 or 34 years. So what happened? What happened 2,000 years ago when Paul says Jesus came in the likeness of men? Let me first tell you what it does not mean. Again, we're going to go into deep waters, so take a deep breath, put on your oxygen mask. What does it not mean? It does not mean that Jesus came and took on a human body but kept a divine mind. So some people have an idea that it looks something like this. This is Jesus, the human body, if I can put it right here. And here is Jesus, the divine spirit or mind, coming together. And there you have the incarnation. Is that true? No, that's not true. In fact, let me put a big red right through it. I love using these markers. Puts me back in the classroom where I used to be years ago. That's a heresy that the church condemned. You say, why is that a heresy? Listen to Hebrews 2:17. It's on the screen. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. All things means mind and body. Jesus did not just have a divine mind and a human body. He had a human mind and a human body. Just like he was fully God, he became fully man. You say, why is that important? Keep listening to that verse. He had to be made like his brethren in all things that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. To just have the human body means only in his flesh and bones and blood capillaries and sinews and tissues that he suffered. No, he also suffered in the mind. That movie Passion. I loved that movie and I hated that movie. Because all it portrayed really was the physical punishment that Jesus suffered. Folks, Jesus suffered a whole lot more spiritually. Because he was taking the sins of every rapist and molester and liar and cheat and adulterer and gossiper. He took it all upon himself. Folks, what is worse? That you cut your hand or somebody punches you or someone falsely accuses you? Someone falsely accuses you. You see, Jesus did not commit any sin, but he took your sin and my sin and the sin of every human being upon himself. So this is a heresy. Something else it does not mean. It does not mean that there were two persons inside Christ. Some people think, so when Jesus came, imagine this box right here. You had one Jesus who was all human, and then you had another Jesus over here, all divine. So now you have two persons inside Jesus. True or false? Y'all scared to say? I just can't hear you. False. This is also a heresy. This is also a heresy that the early church condemned. You say, why is that? Well, listen to what it says in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now focus on that pronoun. I have come. Jesus did not say we have come. I have come. Singular. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I can go on and on, give you many more examples. John 15:12, love one another as I have loved you. He said, why is that important? It's important because when we start thinking of Jesus as being two persons, it's almost like there was one Jesus who was healing the sick, feeding the hungry, dying on the cross. There was another Jesus sitting in heaven. You know, some people actually believe that. Not true. That's a heresy. We don't believe in two persons. We're going to see what that means. We do believe in something that is two, but we'll talk about that in just a few moments. Something else it does not mean. It does not mean that Jesus was a combination of divine and human nature into a new third kind of nature. So if I would draw it, it would look something like this. Here is Jesus's human nature. This is Jesus's divine nature. And there is a whole new nature over here, a third kind of nature. And Jesus is a combination of this third kind. I know we're going deep, but we need to do that. You need to understand what it means that Jesus came in the likeness of men. You see, this is also a heresy that the church condemned. You say, why is that important? Again, keep in mind, Jesus had to be truly both at all times. At all times, so he could represent us as man. Fully man. There could not be a time that Jesus was half man and half God. He had to die on the cross fully as a man, full mind, full body as a man. And at the same time, he had to be fully God. Why is that important? Why did he have to be fully God? So that he could earn our salvation. You say, what is the problem? Why can't we just mix it all up and have a whole new person? When you do that, there are a lot of verses in the Bible we begin to contradict. Now, keep in mind, folks, I don't preach this kind of message every Sunday, but I believe as believers, we need to know who we believe. It does matter which direction this bus is going. It does matter if that thing you wrapped around yourself is a kid's toy, or is it really a life preserver? It matters. So we looked at some of the things that people misunderstand and they believe, which is not what happened when Jesus came. Let me give you one word very quickly. It may surprise you, but there are teachers and preachers on TV, on the internet. You may not realize it, but they believe this. It's very important for us to know who Jesus is. So what does it mean? Listen again to verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. What I'm about to talk to you in the next 5-10 minutes, it is what is known as the traditional orthodox biblical doctrine of Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine that the Catholic Church adheres to. This is a doctrine that Protestants adhere to. And this is a doctrine that Orthodox Church adheres to. We may disagree over baptism. We may disagree over the Lord's Supper. We may disagree over the role of Mary in our theology. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, what I'm about to share with you, we agree across the board. And there are always other people who have veered away and gone into some things like this, which is not biblical. And for those who care, this was decided and ratified at a council that took place in AD 451 in a place called Chalcedon, which is in Turkey today. And so it was a month-long conference where church leaders from everywhere came and they agreed on what we're about to talk about. What does it mean that Jesus came in the likeness of men? Number one, it means that he is truly human in body and in mind, just like he was truly God in form. Truly, all the way. Fully God, fully man, mind and body. A good illustration someone wrote about that I'm kind of stealing from them. Imagine you go to a dealership and you buy you want to buy a nice car, but you go and they show you this very expensive car. Very expensive car, and it's spotless, it's shiny, it's beautiful, never been driven before, but very expensive. And you ask the salesperson, "Can I take it for a ride?" And the man, "Okay, all right, sign the, you know, over here and have a good time." And you take it down this dusty, muddy country road. You turn on that country song, and you're going down that road. And man, it rained the night before, but this is, you love it. You take that car, and you spin it around, and you slide everywhere, and the mud goes all over the car, on the windshield, in the tires, under, over. It is a mess. And you pull into the dealership again. And the guy comes and says, "What did you do to my car? Where is it?" You say, "Man, that car is right there." "No, it's not." "Yes, it is. I know it's all caked over by mud and dirt, but it's still there." You see, Jesus is a poor example, but I think it conveys the point. When Jesus came, he is still fully God. At the same time, he is caked over with all the mud and grime and dirt of humanity. Think about it in that way. A good illustration, but a poor one. Fully God and also fully man, body and mind. Something else. Jesus is two natures. Now, I told you earlier, Jesus is not two persons, but he is two natures. So I can write it like this over here. Natures, of course, there is a human nature, and then there is a divine nature. That's okay, but not two persons. One's over here, another one's over there. Not true. That's not what happened. But two natures with two wills. Let me give you some examples. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, what happened to him in those 40 days? What happened to him? He got, come y'all can speak. He got hungry. He was hungry. Means in his humanity, Jesus was hungry. And Satan came and tried to tempt him and say, you know, turn these stones into bread. And he said, no, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But keep in mind, at the same time, Jesus was also fully divine. He had a divine nature, which means this. When the storm came over the Sea of Galilee, he could stand up and rebuke the winds and the sea and calm the storm. He had power over nature. So as a human being, fully human, he got hungry, but as divine, fully God, he still had power over the universe. Somebody said this way, at one moment he is lying in that little manger, and at the same moment he is filling the entire universe. Not two different persons, but two natures. Fully God, and yet fully man. Something else. In John 16, 28, Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Means Jesus, when he moved, you could tell he left the room. He's gone to Jerusalem, or he's gone to Samaria, or he's gone to Galilee. There was a location to Jesus in his humanity. Yes. But how about in his deity? What did Jesus say in Matthew 18, 20? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So that's why Jesus is here this morning. Did you know? How many of y'all believe that Jesus is here right now? You see, some of y'all don't look convinced. You're like those alligator hands, you know, when you don't want to pay the bill. Yeah, it's like, do you really believe that Jesus is here? Do you really believe? Amen. It would change the way you live. Is the change the way you talk? The thoughts that are running through your mind right now, whatever junk has happened, junk has been done, your feelings got ruffled a little bit, it would change the way if you truly believe Jesus is sitting right next to you. Amazingly, I think we are believing agnostics. We believe, and yet we don't. He's right there with you. Here's another example. What happened to Jesus? Well, in Luke chapter 23, 46, when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. In his humanity, Jesus died, was buried. But how about in his deity? Listen to John 10, 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again, which means you cannot kill God. Fully human, he dies. Fully God, you can kill him. Because you cannot kill the Prince of Life. Not two persons, but two natures in one person. Very critical to understand. I'm hesitant to say this, but I believe many of our messages in many churches can be preached in a Hindu temple, in a Muslim mosque, and in a communist meeting where they don't believe in God. Something's wrong with that. Who is the one that you're trusting in to take hold of your hand on the other side? Is he this? Or is he someone else? The conditions of the fallen world were there. But he stayed pure all the way to the cross. You say, Pastor Shaw, why are you saying this? Have you heard people say something like this? It doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go to a church. You think about that. Now, when people say that to me, I don't like immediately rake them over the coals and say, oh, you better not say that. I just like, that's right, you're right, you're right. But there are people who believe that Jesus, when he died, he actually went to hell and he was raked over the coals. He was dragged through the corridors of hell by Satan himself. Folks, on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty of our sins. He didn't have to go to hell because he was without sin. On the cross, he paid the penalty. On the cross, the judgment of God was poured upon him. He didn't have to enter hell to do that. That's a place that is reserved for Satan and his angels and for those who don't receive Christ. Here's a powerful verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say it together? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Wow. He was already rich. He became poor. So that you could become rich. And now who are we? We are sons and daughters of God. Please, don't walk around saying my life has been horrible. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I'm at. You want to hear my story? I'd love to hear your story. Please tell me a story. But please, if you are saved, you are the daughter, you are the son of the King of Kings. Why are you walking around moping? Why are you walking around and still talking about how horrible your life is? Why do we do that? I tell you why we do that, because we really truly don't believe this. Maybe bits and portions. Because of Jesus Christ, I am now part of the family of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. As believers, we've got to understand the nature of Christ. He's both fully God and fully man. And when we understand what that means, it gives us a better picture of what he did for us on the cross and who we are because of his sacrifice. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadonshaw.com.